In the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit, and God, amen. So before I jump into the sermon, I'll start with an apology and a congratulations. First, an apology that the screen isn't working, okay? The projector had a technical problem and had to be shipped away, so the projector is having some technical difficulties, so please bear with us, and we appreciate your cooperation. And the second, congratulations to all the mothers. Happy Mother's Day to all the mothers here, and we have a little gift that we'll give all the mothers at the end of the liturgy here today. And the church gave us a gift today as we celebrate Mother's Day. Because today we have not just one, but two beautiful examples of beautiful ladies, wonderful ladies, magnificent ladies, that the church has held up for us as an example, and just so happened to be Mother's Day weekend. First was yesterday, we celebrated the birthday of a virgin, St. Mary. So yesterday was her birthday that we commemorated yesterday, so no better example for mothers than that. And then, of course, today's gospel, as you just heard, was the story of the Samaritan woman, another wonderful lady who all of us, mothers, daughters, women, men, whatever, we can look to this wonderful lady and learn so much from this lady. As I looked at the Samaritan woman as I was preparing the sermon here for today, every time I look at the story of the Samaritan woman, there's something special about this lady. There's something special about this lady. Something special about the gospel and something special about this lady. Because this lady, every time I look at her, unlike anyone else, okay, there's a lot of times that Christ met sinners and Christ transformed their life. But there isn't anyone, at least that I can see, who went from so far here to so far here in such a short time. Like, she starts off this story as not just a sinner, but she's the worst person in the city. She's the person that everyone in the city knows her and ridicules her and badmouths. Like, she's the worst person in the world. And then she ends the story as the best person in the world. And it was just one day. It was just an afternoon together with our Lord Jesus Christ. I look at myself and I see, okay, you know what I mean? Like, God is okay and we're trying. But I see this lady. Big jumps, big leaps, big bounds. So I ask myself, what did this lady have that I don't have? What am I missing? Because she has something that allowed her to grow tremendously. Okay? And the reason we're gathered here together on a Sunday morning is because all of us have that same desire. That we would like our life to be transformed by the Lord Jesus Christ the same way she was. What does she have that I'm missing? Maybe she's better at prayer than me. No, she probably never prayed before in her life before this. Maybe she came from a better family. No, she had a very wicked background. Maybe she was just lucky. I don't believe in luck. What did this lady have that you and I are missing? If you could, like, if I had to put, like, if I had to take her story and her growth and her transformation and, like, attribute it to one thing and compare it to myself, you know what I would say? I would say what this lady had is hunger. Would you agree with me? This lady, more than me and you, was hungry for Jesus. Hungry. Whereas oftentimes, I'm content. There's a big difference between me and her when it comes to the hunger that I showed up here this morning and the hunger that I wake up tomorrow morning to go to my room and spend time with the Lord Jesus. The hunger is the biggest difference between the two. I'll show you. If you follow along the story here, this very long story, this long dialogue between Samaritan woman and the Lord Jesus Christ, what you'll see is that she wouldn't stop the conversation. She wouldn't let it go. She kept going for more and more and more and more. Think about it this way. She's a Samaritan woman. She came to the well at the sixth hour, which is like noon, which is the hottest time of day. And we know the reason why she did that is because she wanted to avoid people. Because anytime she saw people, people made fun of her. People ridiculed her. People put her down. People made her feel very, very little. So she did her best in life to avoid people. That's why she came to the well at this hour when she expected to be no people. If you're the Samaritan woman, anytime I see a person on the street, 9 out of 10 times, this person is going to do me harm. That's like the mindset. If I see a person, 90% chance this person is coming to ridicule me, mock me, or something like that. So she sees the Lord Jesus sitting by a well. She could have just turned around and gone back. But she didn't. She kept going. And then Jesus says to her a strange statement. Give me a drink. If you're the Samaritan woman, what would you do? What would you do? Thinking, I know he's a Jewish man who hates me, and he probably knows I'm the Samaritan woman. Everyone knows I'm the Samaritan woman. He's probably going to ridicule me. He's probably going to say stuff about me, or he may even try to hurt me. I don't know who this guy is. What would you say? I'd turn around, get your own drink, buddy. Help yourself, do what you want. Leave me alone. I don't have time for this. You're just going to make fun of me? Leave me alone. But it's not what she said. She, even though she knew that most likely he's going to be mean to me, she said, why are you asking me that question? You're a Jew. I'm a Samaritan. Why are you asking me that question? So he responds to her with another funny statement. If you knew the gift of God, you would ask me for a drink. So now she could have said, yeah, this guy, something's wrong with this guy. He doesn't know what he's talking about. Some strange guy just met off the street. Just leave him and forget about him. But no. She says, what are you talking about? You don't have a bucket. And that well is deep. How are you going to get water? And she keeps on prodding him. And she won't let him go. And then eventually he starts talking about the Father. And then she says, tell me, how am I supposed to worship the Father? Here on that mountain or here on this mountain? You see what I'm saying? Is that she wouldn't stop going. And it wasn't until the disciples interrupted the conversation that the conversation ended. She was hungry. And she was not going to let him go. And the biggest difference between me and you, the reason why my life is not transformed the way her life is transformed, biggest difference between me and you and her is the hunger we have, or the lack of hunger that we have for the Lord Jesus. Bible says in Matthew chapter 5, we read in every liturgy, when we read the prayers, the hours, the Igbea prayers before the liturgy begins, for those who come that early, read Matthew chapter 5, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled. Bible says that God, okay, God is infinite. God is as big as you want him. And you show me your hunger, and I will show you how much God will feed you. God is like the ocean. If you bring a bucket like this to the ocean, you'll fill this much water. If you bring a bucket like this to the ocean, you'll fill this much water. The ocean will fill as much, as big a bucket as you bring. The Samaritan woman brought a big bucket and said, I need more of him in my life. I need more Jesus. And what we say is increments. I'll test you. I'll show you. I'll prove it to you. 1 minute ago, as you were sitting right there in that chair, I stood right here in this exact same spot, and I was reading from the gospel, and the Lord Jesus Christ said a sentence to each and every single one of you. He said that whoever drinks of this water that I will give him will never thirst. Whoever drinks of the water that I will give him will never thirst. But the water that I will give him shall become in him a fountain of water springing up into everlasting life. 1 minute ago, I read this to you. This is the message of God saying, whoever drinks of the water I shall give him, become in him a fountain of water springing up into everlasting life. Same word he said to the Samaritan woman, same word he said to you. How do you respond to that sentence? Thank you, Lord. Glory be to God forever. Amen. This is such a nice sentence. What's for lunch today? How did the Samaritan woman respond to that sentence? Give me this water. 4 words. Give me this water. That I may not come here to thirst or to draw water. That I may not thirst again. Give me this water. He said, I have water that never makes you thirsty. She said, you are not getting away from me today until I get this water. I need this water. And I'm not going to let go of you until I get it. How do I respond to that? I respond to, oh, that's very nice. Maybe next week, you know, I'll meditate on this one day. And we start to go back to our busy and our cares. And where are we going to go for Mother's Day? And is it going to be crowded? And is it going to finish early? And where's the screen? All this kind of stuff. We need to work on our hunger level. We need to be more hungry. Even the Lord Jesus Christ today spoke about hunger. And he said, I have food to do that which you don't know. My food is to do the will of him who sent me. Our Lord Jesus Christ said, I'm hungry to do something. And he wants us as his people to be hungry, hungry people today. How to be more hungry. Okay? I have two ways to be more hungry. Okay, and again, there's no PowerPoint, so concentrate with me. Okay? Concentrate with me. It is an important subject about hunger. So we said we need to be more hungry to be like the Samaritan woman. How to increase my hunger? My appetite is like this. How to make it bigger? I'll give you two ways. One of them is physical. One of them is mental. The physical one, I spoke about this a couple weeks ago in the sermon here, but I'll reiterate it because it's such an important point. When you want to eat more and you want your appetite to be bigger, then what you need to do is eat more food. Okay? Because when you eat little, your stomach shrinks, but when you eat more, your stomach expands. And the more and more you eat, the more and more you find yourself hungry. True story. Just this past weekend. On Friday night, I was someplace, okay, and I had eaten dinner before I went there, but lo and behold, they happened to serve my favorite food, pizza. They ordered pizza, okay, sausage and pepperoni, so I had no choice. I had to eat. So I ate pizza. And I went to sleep that night and said, man, that pizza was good. And I thought to myself, man, as soon as I get home on Saturday morning, I prayed the liturgy. I said, as soon as I get home, I'm going to go eat some more pizza. And I'm telling you, in front of God, I got home that day. And apparently, my wife the day before had taken the kids to Costco. And when we go to Costco, we always buy pizza. And there was two slices sitting right there on the counter. Right there on the counter. So I said, that's the best thing in the world. And the more and more I ate it, the more I became hungry. Then I went out and ran some errands, then I came back. And I said, I want some more pizza. I'm going to go for three times in 24 hours. There was no pizza and nothing in the frozen. So I had the second closest thing. Made myself a grilled cheese. Bread, cheese. I was only missing the tomato sauce, but it was close enough. The more and more I ate the pizza, the more I said, man, I want to eat some more pizza. And the more and more I thought about eating pizza, I said, man, I really want to eat some more pizza. The same thing when it comes to our hunger for the Lord Jesus. The more we eat him, man, that tasted good. I want more. And the more we eat, the more we want. And the more we eat, the more we want. That's the best thing about him, is the more and more we eat, the more and more our hunger expands. And the best thing about him is he never runs out. He's like the ocean. Like I said, when we have this small bucket, he fills it. And then we come with a bigger bucket and a bigger bucket and a bigger bucket, and he fills whatever size bucket we bring to him. The Pauline epistle that was read to us was from Colossians chapter 3. And Colossians chapter 3, okay, St. Paul said the following. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. So when I think about the word of God dwelling in me richly, like I said a couple weeks ago, I'll give you two practicals for that point. Okay? The word of Christ to dwell in me richly. I will talk about the body, which I eat, and I will talk about the word, which I also eat. That I eat here, and that I eat here. Like I said a couple weeks ago, these days, I'm telling you, the holy 50 days, the days from resurrection to Pentecost, are the most special days of the year. Believe me, trust me, they are the most special days of the year. Even the church itself does something which the church would never ever do it any other day. It tells us don't fast for 50 days. It says for these 50 days, don't even think about fasting. For the church to do that says these days are special. Unfortunately, we look at these days as down. These days are not down. These days are up. These days are the pinnacle. These days are what we do all year to get to these days. All year, all the stuff we do is to get to these days where the risen Lord is in our midst. These are the days that we live for. If you look at the kingdom of heaven, you look what the Bible says about the kingdom of heaven. Oftentimes talks about like eating and drinking. Book of Revelation, near the end, talks about when we get there, to him who overcomes something, I will give to eat from the tree of life. I will give to eat from the tree of life. And then also in Revelation chapter 3, it says, behold, I stand at the door and knock. Whoever opens the door, I will come in and dine with him. And there's many references to the kingdom of heaven of our Lord Jesus Christ dining with us or eating with us. These days, the church saying, these are days of eating and drinking. and dining with the Lord and enjoying his body and enjoying his blood and living with the risen Lord. You know, every liturgy we pray during these holy 50 days, they're special. Whether it's a weekday or a weekend or a Sunday or a Monday or whatever, they're special. Because every single time we pray a liturgy, it's exactly as if it's Easter night. The rites of the church and like the rituals of the church, that's why we do the same procession. That's why we sing the same hymns. It's exactly like Easter night. When we gather tomorrow or Wednesday morning for a liturgy, 5:30 morning, it's exactly like Easter night. These are special days. And the Lord is telling us to eat more, eat more, and eat more. And the second thing, like I said, is the Word of God, the Bible. And like I said a couple weeks ago, these are days that you want to take your Bible and you want to eat more. Now, I know that some people, like I said before, struggle and it's hard. Whether it's liturgy to come take communion or whether it's Bible to eat the Word of God here, you know the hardest step? First one. Always is the first one. The first step, like when I'm upstairs and I just got up and then I'm in a rush and this and that. Bible and it's But then once I sit down, if I force myself to sit down and just sit down and just open it, then all of a sudden, that's nice. Same thing with liturgy. Is that, yeah, and to drive all the way in a parking spot, what if it's raining, what if I can't find my seat, what if the projector's broken again, and all this kind of stuff. But once I get there, and I have the mindset, and the right mindset, that I'm coming here to drink from the water that never makes you thirsty again, that I'm hungry for that, I don't want to leave. First way we get more hungry is eat more. Second way we get more hungry. It's good to eat more, okay, but practically speaking, okay, you may not be able to eat communion like every day. Okay, some people can't make it during the weekdays, so maybe you only make it on Sundays. And same thing with the Bible. Like, you can read it every day, but maybe you can't spend an hour every day. So our eating the Word, letting the Word of Christ dwell in us shouldn't be limited just to when I can get to church and just when the Bible's open in front of me. So what we need to do is, I said, the more we eat, the more hungry we get. Also, the more we think about food, the more hungry we get. I bet you I made some people hungry in the past 5 minutes just talking about food. Because the more you think about food, the more you want it. Common sense, logic. I was telling them in the first liturgy. In a couple weeks, me and my family were going to go on a vacation. We're going to Myrtle Beach. Okay, and if anyone's ever been to Myrtle Beach, I'm sure a lot of you have been to Myrtle Beach. Myrtle Beach is the capital of what? All you can eat. Okay? You have to look very hard in Myrtle Beach to find a restaurant that's not all you can eat. Everything is all you can eat. Everything is all you can eat. Every corner is all you can eat. So all you can eat breakfast, all you can eat lunch, all you can eat dinner. Everything is all you can eat. And the more and more I think about it, just thinking about it, I start to get myself all worked up. Just thinking about it. Just the thought of all those all you can eats and whatever wants a choice that you want. And all for one great low price. Kids eat free. The more and more you think about it, it makes you hungry. And that's exactly the word that St. Paul said in the Pauline epistle. Colossians chapter 3. Listen with me. Follow me here. If then you were raised with Christ. This is Colossians 3 verse 1 and 2. If then you were raised with Christ, seek those things which are above where Christ is, sitting at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above, not on things on the earth. Set your mind on things above, not on things on the earth. What St. Paul is saying is that in order to expand your hunger, think about food more. And the more and more you think about it, the more and more you'll be hungry. Aren't there times where you are so busy in your day and appointments and phone calls and emails and meetings that you forget to eat? Happens to all of us, right? You forget to eat sometimes. But the minute that you remember, hey, there's a slice of pizza waiting for me, or there's a sandwich waiting for me, the minute you think about it, that's it. That's it. You have to go eat because you put it in your mind and now you can't. Sometimes we don't think about it because we're busy, but the more and more we think about it, the more and more we become hungry. Well, throughout our day, we all get busy. And we all have, believe me, I'm the first one. It's hard to concentrate. And it's hard to have the Lord. It's hard to pray without ceasing, as the Bible says. But the more and more I can think about him, the more and more I can interject in my thoughts, find ways to think about him, the more and more I'm creating hunger for him. What does that mean? Look at the Samaritan woman as an example. The Samaritan woman, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, she knew her hunger. It was in front of her eyes at all times. I need something more. It was always in front of her. She never for one second forgot. So that's why, as soon as she saw the Lord Jesus, she went at him right away, because I need more. And if we can have that same mentality throughout our day, just reminding ourselves of our need for him, then we also have that same hunger. How practically? Again, I'll read you another verse from the Pauline Epistle. Colossians chapter 3, the last verse. Whatever you do, in word or in deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus. Whatever you do, in word or in deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus. That means the following. Practical. If I asked you, is God everywhere? You would say yes. God is everywhere. God is everywhere. There's no place that God isn't, right? Everywhere. Okay, find him. That's what I'll tell you. Find him. When you're at work, in your cubicle, find him. Is he there? He's everywhere. Find him. When you're talking with your coworker or your roommate, find him. Is he there? He's there. Find him. When you're saying Happy Mother's Day to the neighbor next door, find him in that conversation. When you're mowing the lawn, find him in that. When you're taking the trash out and saying hi to the trash man, find him in everything that you do. He's everywhere, right? St. Paul says, whatever you do in word or in deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus. So whatever you do, find him in it. And what you will discover, the more and more you think about him and you look for him, you're expanding your bucket. You're expanding your hunger. The spiritual life is not, as sometimes we think, a formula. It's not like a recipe. It's not like a do A, if A, then B leads to C. It's not. The spiritual life is eating and drinking. It's eating the bread, is drinking the water. The spiritual life is coming to God hungry and watching him fill me. What we need to do, my brothers and sisters, especially during these final days of the Holy 50, okay? The countdown is on. It's only a month left of the Holy 50. Less than a month. Less than a month of these Holy 50 days. As we need to eat. We need to be hungry. And we need in everything we do to find the Lord Jesus and to be hungry for him. Whether physically, whether here, or even when I'm not here and I'm not here, in everything I do, whatever you do, in deed or in word, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus. If you can do that, I'm going to leave you with this verse. Like I said, Matthew 5:3, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled. My question I leave you with is, how hungry are you today? How thirsty are you today? Glory be to God forever. Amen.